Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Today's message, still in this series on the fruit of the Spirit, based on Galatians 5, 22-23, is on meekness. Meekness. Paul instructs us in these verses over against the sinful ways of fallen, unregenerate sinners, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law. Considering meekness now, the theme for the sermon is, why meekness too? Here let me ask you, what would you say if I just skipped over this meekness detail of the Spirit's sanctifying fruit in the lives of God's people? Meekness seems so closely related to some of the other fruit details already covered. And who has a problem with meekness anyways? Why not move to a sermon or even two on the subject of self-control? For wouldn't that be much more relevant and practical? Yes, let's just skip over this meekness fruit now. Oh, but I think you can hear even in the tone of my voice, can't you? Actually, that would not be wise. In fact, I hope and pray this sermon will prove it is so important and good also to reflect particularly on this matter, living in meekness before the Lord and each other. Why meekness too? To answer this question, we need to define and describe meekness first, and then we will look at reasons to study and pursue and practice this grace. What is meekness? Meekness refers basically to being submissive to God and to His Word, trusting Him with all your heart in all your ways, regardless your situation. It is about being trusting and tender-hearted before God and others in all situations, submitting all of life in God's hands. The specific term for meekness in the Greek is not found often in Scripture. In the culture of the day when Paul lived, meekness was a word used of colts and other animals whose naturally wild spirits were broken by a trainer so that the animals could do useful work, following the trainer's will and way, and not their own. Meekness does not refer to weakness, as is often thought and said, but rather it refers to strength and power, living humbly under divine guidance and leading and reliance on the Lord. Ironically, the meekest in world history have been mightiest in standing up against wrong and evil, something we will come back to shortly. When you are meek, you are not a person always insistent on your own rights and wants, but rather you look for God's purposes and glory in all things, and you wait on Him in all your ways and needs. Meekness accepts situations looking to the Lord for help and hope in it. Meekness doesn't accept what is wrong and can stand strong against wrong, but it is a spiritual disposition of never wanting to do wrong, and always wanting to do what is to God's honor and for the best of others. Perhaps in defining and describing meekness more, the best is just to give you some examples. Think of Jacob being transformed by God from an independent, conniving, self-centered person into a meek, humble, godly man. It was quite a struggle, but in the end, Jacob became meek. For a New Testament example, think of Paul, who before, when still called Saul, was such a self-righteous, aggressive, arrogant, uncaring person. But he became, by God's saving and sanctifying grace, a most humble, sensitive, self-sacrificing, godly person. The cold, brash persecutor was turned by God's grace and Spirit into a meek and most caring missionary of the gospel. Paul, by God's grace, aimed to live, committing all of his life and ministry with all his challenges into God's hand, and committing everything to his leading and direction and keeping. Then think about Moses, the great and gracious godly leader of the Israelites. We mention him especially because in Numbers 12 verse 3 we read, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were upon the face of the earth." By God's grace, through many trials and oppositions, Moses mightily led the people of Israel for more than 40 years, and all the while he bore with them with great meekness, so that even God highlights for us this godly characteristic of him. Moses' God-given meekness made him so great leader to Israel for decades. Most of all, however, for the greatest example of meekness, we should think of the Lord Jesus himself, shouldn't we? In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1, Paul exhorts the Corinthians, as he puts it, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Did not Jesus describe himself as meek and lowly of heart in Matthew 11:29? When Jesus was riding on a colt into Jerusalem, the people praised and exalted him as their Messiah and coming King. And Matthew writes in Matthew 21 verse 4 to 5, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy King comes unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey." Describing meekness as submitting to God in all our ways, trusting him in everything, and being so tender-hearted and gentle towards all people, and living in humble and hearty acceptance of all God's word and ways. Isn't that the way the Lord Jesus behaved, dear friends? As Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, when here on earth, Jesus never defended himself, but submitted himself to God, and to his keeping, trusting his Father in heaven, to make all things work together for good, according to his promises. Peter says thus of Jesus, "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself and his cause to him that judges righteously." Jesus' meekness was not weakness, but strength under divine control and almighty strength in submissive service to God his Father and in boundless, gentle love towards undeserving sinners like us. It is amazing to consider how Jesus never once raised a finger or gave a single retort in his own defense. If you want to see meekness in its full glory, think of Jesus voluntarily hanging and dying on the cruel cross in the sinner's place, with the Jews cruelly and relentlessly taunting him, saying, as recorded in Matthew 27, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." And think of it now. To this, Jesus answered not a word. But in infinite, astonishing meekness, you see, he surrendered himself to the Lord, to his Father's will and keeping and promises. And thus he loved sinners still, even to the death of the cross. So terrible and awful was this judgment Jesus suffered as the just for the unjust. But Jesus suffered it all willingly and patiently, even when all the while, if he thought only of himself, he easily could have come off that cross and with a word destroyed all his persecutors. But Jesus was living in acceptance of all God's word and way, trusting in God's promises and all his keeping, no matter what. Indeed, Jesus was and is the only perfect example of absolute and amazing meekness before God and man. Do you see it with me? How infinitely strong and majestic and powerful was Jesus' meekness before God and men. How true the way one defined meekness, Christ-like meekness, and I quote, "Meekness," wrote this person, "is the opposite of self-will towards God and the opposite of ill will towards men. Meekness is the opposite of self-will towards God, and the opposite of ill will towards men. Oh, should we not all marvel at the meekness of Christ Jesus? Do you marvel at it, and at Jesus, in humble love and adoration for Christ, as only Savior and Lord? Well, dear friends, hopefully this all helps you understand more what meekness is, Christian meekness. In summary, meekness is all about living in humble and self-forgetful acceptance of and submission to God's will and calling in our lives, ever looking to the Lord, and at the same time always seeking to live in tender love and care towards all people in our lives, in a way comparable to Jesus Christ Himself. This Christian godly loving meekness is fruit of the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people. Oh, it is not a natural grace to anyone. It's nothing genetic, but all a matter of divine grace in our lives. The meekness fruit we only come to know and show through God's regenerating and saving and sanctifying grace in and through Christ Jesus, as ministered to us by God's Word and Spirit. God the Spirit teaches us meekness, as He by His Word shows us who we are in ourselves, and who He is as Almighty, gracious Savior God of sinners, and as He leads us in faith in Him, and all His grand and gracious and glorious gospel promises and accomplishments. And what a blessing and beautiful fruit meekness is, when you and I have it, and demonstrate it in our lives, in all that happens to us, and with all whom we relate. And to see this further now, let us think more on our theme question, why meekness too? Probably already with all that has been said about meekness, you can see why meekness is so important in the Christian life. But let me mention yet four specific reasons for meekness, an exhortation to show meekness as confessing believers, and why indeed we must not skip over this matter by any means. For one, notice how it is surely a recommended grace. A recommended grace. Meekness is highlighted and urged upon us all through Scripture. The Apostle Peter exhorts for meekness in 1 Peter 2 and 3. He speaks there about taking it well when punished wrongly for doing good even, and not retaliating nor getting upset about it, but instead asking God to help you praise Him through it, and to still love those who even wrongly beat you. Being thus meek in life, this is acceptable with God, Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 20. And when Peter speaks of Christ, and how Jesus submitted Himself to the Lord in all His sufferings, and so gave Himself in love towards sinners like us, even when so wrongly and unjustly dealt with by others, what does Peter say in 1 Peter 2, verse 21? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. You see, meekness is a recommended grace. Thus in Galatians 6, verse 1, Christians are exhorted to restore others who are failing and falling, to restore or reach out and help such a one in the spirit of meekness. Paul writes too in 1 Peter 3:15 that in our witness to the world and in Christian apologetics and defense of the faith, we are to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear or respect. Christian apologetics and ministry without meekness, without humble trust in God and tender-hearted love to God and our neighbor is always more offensive than helpful. In 1 Peter 3, the Apostle also speaks of meekness in the context of marriage, especially in a setting where a Christian is married to an unbelieving spouse. Peter urges for meekness on the part of the Christian as that which can help most in living for God still in that difficult situation, and possibly even to win over the unbelieving spouse. Let there be meekness. Using a godly woman as an example, Peter speaks of the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which he says in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, is in the sight of God of great price, or something very precious and valuable. that there be the hidden man of the heart, deep within, that which is not corruptible, namely Christian meekness in thought, word, and deed, before God and our fellow man, at home, and at work, and in church, and in all of society life. We read in Psalm 149, verse 4, that the Lord will beautify the meek with salvation. On the other hand, in many places we read, the Lord knows the proud afar off, and they miss out on God's saving grace and almighty redeeming and renewing power. But all who humbly wait on the Lord, they shall be blessed indeed, and blessed forevermore. Why meekness too? Because it is a recommended grace and fruit of the Spirit. Notice secondly, meekness is so important because it is a revealing grace. Revealing. It reveals where our heart and confidence lies. When we show meekness, you and I, we reflect our reliance upon the Lord and our relationship with Christ as our only Savior and comfort and confidence and the one we aim to trust and serve above all. When you live in Christian meekness, you don't let any situation or relationship, bad or good, control you, but you submit all to God, seeking to trust Him no matter what, and to show His grace and wisdom and love no matter what. At least, that is how you desire to live then, by the grace of God. The opposite of living in Christian meekness is living in proud independence and self-assertion, insisting on your ways and following your own self-promoting goal, no matter what. Christian meekness reflects the attitude and mindset, however, I'm not my own, and my life is in God's hands, and He calls me to serve Him in grace and godliness, no matter what happens to me. I can trust Him. I need to trust Him. Lord, help me so to respond in all life's cares and challenges, that You be praised, O God, and that others see Christ in me and can't help but notice Your love and grace and care and compassion through me. Thinking of meekness as a revealing grace, is it something you know and show too by God's grace, dear friends? As I read in one commentary on 1 Peter 3, quote, every Christian should ask himself or herself, is the Holy Spirit so active in my life that I am being made meek and more meek as time goes on? Paul prays for the Ephesian believers that God would strengthen them through His Spirit in their inner being. Do you and I, in our inner being, in our hearts, have a meek and quiet spirit before God and others in all life's challenges and relationships? When thinking of Christian meekness being a revealing grace, maybe you are finding this very humbling and convicting. And that is not bad. If it brings you, maybe for a first time even, or else afresh, to Christ Jesus, calling for Him to be your Savior and Lord, not just a little bit or part-time, but totally and completely and for all the time. Oh, the wonderful gospel truth is, Jesus' invitation to all is, as stated in Matthew 11, verse 28 and following, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The gospel is that meekness is the fruit of the Spirit, and therefore with all our failures and shortcomings, also in regards to meekness, we may call upon the Lord and ask for this grace and this fruit of the Spirit, meekness, truly and more and more. You show true meekness when coming to the Lord in repentance and faith, asking for Christian meekness. Do you ask for meekness, dear friends? Christian meekness. Why meekness too? Because it is such a recommended grace and such a revealing grace. Thirdly, notice it is such a remarkable grace as well. Remarkable. Yes, learning and showing Christian meekness led on by God's Spirit and Word is something remarkable. In many ways even. It gives peace to those dealing with trials and difficulties in circumstances and also in relationships. When you live with Christian meekness, you stop fighting and rebelling against your situation, and you say instead, by God's grace, Lord, my life is in Your hands. You take the reins and lead me through this or that, so that your name be glorified and others be blessed. That is my goal, whatever the situation I'm placed in. Do you see how such a mindset of Christian meekness removes you from the way of bitterness and impatience and leads you in the way of purposefulness and being blessed and being a blessing still, no matter what? Christian meekness helps you, as it did Paul, to turn away from resentment and to learn instead Christian contentment in whatever state or condition or relationship you might be. This is the case because then by God's grace and Spirit, your ultimate desire in everything becomes God's glory and being a blessing to others regardless. You see, the purposefulness of this then, the goal is not about anything of yourself or for yourself, but all about God and others and the promotion and extension of God's gospel cause in and through you, whatever you face. Oh, Christian meekness is a remarkable grace because not only does it give you rich peace and real purpose, but it is something so powerful in reflecting the gospel and breaking down resistance against the gospel from others. When you and I meekly live through hard times in a genuine and humble manner, still trusting and praising God anyways, oh, that gets noticed. It becomes a powerful testimony to the riches and comfort and preciousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian meekness serves to disarm the opponents to the gospel like nothing else. The Jews and Gentiles in Jesus' day, like so many people still today, only know and think of the power of the military or the power of money or the power of nature or the power of the majority. But who can understand and tell the power of Christian meekness in exercise? It was by meekness that Christ conquered sin, Satan, death, and hell. It is by Spirit-work meekness and not human might and wisdom and efforts that the Lord saves and renews sinners and delivers us from hell to lead us into heaven instead. It is by meekness, Christian meekness in word and deed, that we can still have so much influence for God and good in this sinful and perishing world. Is this your Christian conviction and testimony as well? It's a remarkable grace and fruit of the Spirit, this Christian meekness, giving so much peace in life and purpose to life and power in life to God's praise and for our neighbor's good. When you give a cup of cold water or do some other kind and loving deed, even to your enemies and those difficult to deal with, you don't know how that can turn the situation around. The meek would rather forgive 20 injuries against self than commit one wrong against another. The meek live in humble thanksgiving before God for all their undeserved blessings and in hearty love to their neighbors in promotion of their earthly and eternal well-being. How beautiful and unique is the Christian testimony and way of life, showing this God-honoring, grace-reflecting, people-caring meekness. Christian meekness is a remarkable grace, living in our loveless, revengeful, self-seeking, sinful, short-tempered world. Meekness is not spinelessness or weakness, but something most gracious and glorious. You can't help but notice when people have this fruit of the Spirit, meekness, and always it leaves an impression, leaving behind something of a sweet scent of the divine and something undeniably good. All the great and wonderful people in the history of the world have been people knowing the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, while all the wicked and tyrants and terrorists know nothing of this fruit, but live rather guided by Satan and his devilish, cruel ways. Why meekness too? Well, because it is such a recommended grace, and such a revealing grace, and such a remarkable grace. Lastly, notice, it is such a rewarding grace. Rewarding. How is it rewarding? Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Oh, this sounds so contradictory almost, doesn't it? How can it be that those who give up claims to their own rights and just give all of life and every detail over to God be something so rewarding. Scoffers will tell us, Christians showing meekness inherit the earth, all right, in their graves, 6 feet under, always letting people trample them underfoot. But that's not how it is, even when it may appear that way sometimes. In the end, God's people, meek and mild, most triumphant shall be, while all others losers will be. And the answer to this puzzle, of course, is that no one ever loses out submitting themselves and surrendering themselves wholly to the one true God with all that they have and all that they are and all that they experience and go through. No, for God triune is the all-sufficient Savior of all His people, even for as many as truly and repeatedly trust and follow after Him. How sad that all too many refuse to hear the gospel and will not seek the Lord while He may be found. You see, everyone living and dying apart from Christ will not only lose all things, but be cast into hell, there to suffer in body and soul forevermore in just punishment for all their sins and sinfulness and refusing to learn the gospel grace of Christian meekness. Will you hear and learn this gospel truth even now with this gospel sermon on Christian meekness? The fruit of the Spirit, meekness. Put on meekness, Paul exhorts Christians in Colossians 3, verse 12. Will you put on Christian meekness? Something learned only at the feet of Jesus, time and again. By nature we grow the weeds of sinful bitterness, pride, rebellion, anger, revenge, and retaliation. And we don't know and can't show love and respect even to those who mistreat us and hurt us. But looking to the Lord and humbly depending on Him and abiding in Christ, what the Lord calls for in our lives, He graciously gives and works in our lives too. Yes, by His Holy Spirit and Word. Why meekness too, as fruit of the Spirit? Because God will have us be conformed to the image of Christ and be true witnesses of the gospel for as long as we live. Blessed are the hearers of God's word, who, as James says in James 1, verse 21, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Yes, ever looking unto Jesus, and entrusting all, always, to Him. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful, Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com. and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.